Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome in. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Dustin Hawkins with Greg Pickle here. We're talking Penn State football for the next hour. We're coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. Business is starting to pick up just a little bit on the recruiting front. We're starting to approach the blue-white game. So we're getting a little bit of action. It's been a quiet couple months, really, since we had a commitment. And we're getting into spring practice, so we're approaching the end of that. We're going to talk the latest in recruiting, the latest from spring practice. I wanted to kind of bottom line on the show what we've learned so far this spring, what we think we've learned anyway. There's some smoke and mirrors effect that happens in the spring. We're also going to kick off, we'll just call it our player review series for now. I'm not sure. Maybe we'll have a better name for it then. Working our way down through the roster, discussing each player on the roster, where they came from, where we think they're going, what their role is going to be in 2019. I'm pretty excited about that. Just because we don't really do it in this context. It doesn't have to be news. We don't have to discuss the depth chart to talk about each of the individuals on it. And one thing I would say before we launch into the news of the weekend is that you can, as you're viewing the roster in this capacity, you can definitely see how the floor has been raised. Every player is intriguing to you now. There's not a lot of throwaway recruits, if that makes sense. But given the way James Franklin's recruited, that shouldn't be much of a surprise. Ask Greg is our last quarter of this show, as it usually is. So on the recruiting front, Greg, I would say business is starting to pick up a little bit. You're starting to get the visits. You're starting to see, you know, there's going to be a little bit of a buildup to blue-white. But there were at least a handful of offers that went out. There were some visits.
Yep.
Why don't you just recap us what came of that, if there's anything that should be taken seriously, if anybody should be you hate to say on commitment watch, but if there's anything close to happening.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll see someone commit between now and the blue-white game. And I think probably at this point, you're going to wait to the blue-white game. If you're a kid that is on the verge of committing and you can get back to campus for that spring game, I think the program would like it to, you know, sort of make that day a huge deal. And I think for most players, the chance to commit during that, as James Franklin would refer to it as, family reunion or gathering of fans and former players and obviously the current team, I think that really is ideal if you can wait that long and also get back to campus. So Penn State in a commitment drought at this point have not picked up a new pledge since February, but I do think that they're about to turn the corner in that regard. You know, the offers that went out over the weekend were pretty interesting, quite honestly. Zariah Fisher, the fourth Pennsylvania prospect to pick up a Penn State offer in this class, the second from the Whippeal. He's an Alakippa kid, three-star. And I think Penn State probably liked his size when they actually got to see him on campus. I'll be curious to see if any other schools follow suit. I mean, Temple, Syracuse, Pittsburgh had offered him prior to this point. So I'll be curious to see if anybody else follows suit now that Penn State's on the board. We've seen that happen before. It's not necessarily a guarantee, but it definitely tends to happen. So outside of him, you know, you saw a few other offers go out. Ty Hamilton is a three-star defensive end from Ohio. Bengali Kamara's a three-star linebacker from Ohio, and Nick Turner's a three-star safety from New Orleans. So we haven't seen Penn State go on an offer spree of three stars in quite some time. I don't know if that says, I don't know what they're reading into that. Are they getting in early on these guys, and these guys are about to blow up and become four or five stars, or is Penn State struggling that much, or it doesn't feel like it's in great shape with its four and five star targets, so now it's already dipping into that part of the recruiting page. I'm not sure, to be honest, but we'll have to wait and see.
Well, I mean, you can always hold up Keaton Ellis as a good example of, you know, at this time of year, I think recruiting rankings might be their least complete yet.
Right.
You don't have a lot of new information. You think about when seasons ended, when junior seasons ended in November, December, to now where they haven't really gotten out on the camp circuit or anything yet. I think you're going to see a lot of movement on the rankings front coming. So to that end, I would definitely say it seems like an underwhelming batch of offers, but they're not that concerned about star rankings. And I would guess that at least a couple of these guys in the class that they're looking at are going to rise in the rankings.
Yeah.
When they get on campus and they see what they can do. Keaton Ellis was a good example. You heard grumblings before his recruitment. You know, his recruitment never really exploded. He got more national recognition towards the end. But Penn State saw a kid running, I forget what the 40 time was, in the 4-4 neighborhood or whatever.
Yeah.
So that shouldn't have been much of a surprise to see his stock rise. And I think Penn State has kind of earned the benefit of the doubt on players like this.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I think obviously you want to stay in that blue chip recruit ratio, which of course we've talked about before, SB Nation. More for the teams that compete for a national title year in and year out have more 4- and 5-star recruits on their roster than 3- and 4-stars. So obviously you want to stay in that conversation. Penn State is in that conversation, and not to say they're going to drop out of it anytime soon, but I do think there's a note to be made in the sense that, you know, there's just an interesting list of offers to go out at this point of the it's an interesting list of offers to go out at this point of the recruiting cycle, that's for sure.
And here's another thing I would say about recruiting, specifically spring recruiting, is that I do think that what we see right now, where there's going to be a long dry spell right around the time National Signing Day ends all the way through the end of spring practice, I think the way the calendar shapes up now, there's a lot less incentive to commit to schools anywhere in February, March, or April before you can really get serious about visits. So I think, you know, there's always exceptions, and each cycle tends to be a little different than the previous one. But I do think more cycles than not, you're going to see these 2-3 month long quote unquote dry spells, just right, because the way the calendar shakes out now.
Yeah, no, that makes, and yeah, the other thing too is happy April. No April Fool's Days jokes.
I absolutely cannot stand April Fool's. I can't think either. It's the worst.
Yeah. Hopefully we get no April Fool's commitments. Those are always the absolute worst.
I couldn't hate April Fool's Day anymore.
But I guess my point of that was that it also welcomed – I forgot where I was going with that for just a brief second, but it also
– I took you off track.
It also ushers in the official visit window, which starts today and runs through – let's get it right – the Sunday before the last Wednesday in June.
I love that phrase.
Yes, me too.
I love that phrase. It makes no sense, but it makes all the sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's very NCAA-like. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Also by GoPSURV.com. We are getting close to the blue-white game, and I do think there's still time to take advantage of the offer they have for you. They value Keystone Sports Network listeners. Starting at just $350 for a group of four, you can get an RV. You can arrive on Friday. You stay through Sunday. You can tailgate literally the entire time if you want, which why would you not want that? You get a free 409 Tailgate Club meal included with that. You get a shuttle back and forth to Beaver Stadium, and maybe a little FaceTime with me. So I apologize if GoPSURV.com crashes now with that influx of demand, but they are still taking – you can contact Mark for more details to order, 1-800-519-8467. Also go to GoPSURV.com for more information there. I personally vouch for this. I will be there blue-white weekend. I don't know if that's a incentive or deterrent, but be warned, I will be there. Looking at another interesting visit, Sean Fitz from Lions 247 had this first, and I don't know what to make of it just yet, but Weston Carr, who's a wide receiver from Azusa Pacific, his brother Austin Carr played at Northwestern, I think through 2016,
right.
Was highly productive. So you have this template, you hope, that maybe Weston Carr is – A, genuinely interested in Penn State, and B, can bring what he did at Azusa Pacific to State College. 86 catches for over 1,400 yards and 15 touchdowns. What do you make of that? It's probably too early to tell at this point, but should Penn State fans get their hopes up on this one? Is he worth getting your hopes up for? That's what you don't know about the transfer market.
That's always the million-dollar question, right, is why is a guy transferring? So in this case, he's trying to go up the ladder, which is usually an interest. I mean, there's a reason he wasn't right to the FBS level, so you always got to wonder about that. But, you know, I think at this point, you just get the talent in that you can get, and – you just let it fall where it may. I mean, you have, you know, this, it almost feels in a sense kind of similar to like the offers that go out the day before signing day when you're like, well, we have some room, so we might as well take a couple of these guys we think might turn into something. And if they don't, that's okay, but it was worth a shot. And I think this guy falls into that category.
Yeah, so, but, you know, you kind of take a more cynical position on it than I do, I guess.
Agreed.
Of course, there's a reason that he didn't go D1, he didn't go FBS right away. But there's also a reason, like, Julian Edelman was a late round pick.
Right,
there's
sure.
a reason Tom Brady was a late round pick. You know, there's always a reason for it, but sometimes those reasons were flawed initially. And I know it's a big jump, but he'll be an interesting guy to monitor. I'm really curious to see and hear what he actually thinks of Penn State, if they actually have a shot there.
Yeah, I mean, I will say that he was a Division II All-American, so that's obviously
– so he can play a little bit.
Right.
A couple of things just to kind of roll through quickly. I was a little surprised that James Franklin kind of came right out with it and said that they were looking for transfers. But I think, speaking of new normals, this is the new normal this time of year now too.
Yeah, I feel like you almost have to at this point, right? I mean, there's just no way around it. The fact that Penn State lost 11, 12, 14 guys, whatever it ended up being, to the portal, grad transfer portal, or just a regular transfer portal already, you have to replace them somehow. They're not going to replace themselves. There's no argument to be made there. So you have to dive in here and get some guys in. You know, they're talking about defensive tackle, offensive line, wide receiver. I think they might take one at safety if they can find one. You know, we'll keep an eye out for the White game. It'll be very interesting because I think a lot of these guys are going to show up and be there for that experience.
Yeah, so you should expect some movement there. What did you think about him? He had some really good things to say about Judge Culpepper and Damian Barber, guys that you might not have penciled in as being factors, but maybe could be at the end of that defensive tackle rotation.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I do see Penn State obviously getting some depth at that position, and I think we understand why they moved C.J. Thorpe back to the offensive side of the ball. Very glowing review for Damian Barber and for Judge Culpepper, which I think is important for both of those guys. Obviously, Barber's a guy that had to bulk up and move inside, and that can be a tough ask. As we saw with Kevin Gibbons, it can take a little bit of time to make that adjustment, but once you put the weight on you and you put the skill and the size together, you can go a long way. And I think that's like what we're seeing with Damian Barber here during this spring. And then with Culpepper, I think you're a guy that's been high on him for quite some time, and it sounds like he's starting to put it all together now too.
One other quick thing I just found, James Franklin had some good things to say about Sean Clifford, basically along the lines of he can make all the throws. And I think right. We knew he could make all the throws, probably from a pure passing standpoint. He's the best one on the roster right now. But in the quarterback competition, it's just hard to trump experience and command and what Tommy Stevens brings to the table. So I didn't come away, even though Franklin spoke highly of Clifford, thinking that his shot to win the job was any better now than it was before.
Yeah, I wish we'd see more from Tommy Stevens, but I do think this battle is going to go into the summer. We really won't have a good answer until sometime in August.
So we'll touch on a couple of these themes, plus just spring, what we've heard from James Franklin and others, and conclusions that we can start to draw about this team. So we'll get into that in just a moment.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today. Hey, Dustin Hockensmith here from the Keystone Sports Network. I wanted to share my own firsthand experience using 409 tailgate sauce. It's a product you hear about often on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is not an advertisement. It is a fact. 409 tailgate sauce is different from every barbecue sauce I have ever bought. It's not that thick, syrupy, artificial stuff you'll find on grocery store shelves. It's lighter, it's more versatile, and it's good on just about everything. I'd recommend going to 409tailgateclub.com right now. See what I mean, experience that difference, and tailgate with honor.